So I'd like to begin from reading from Psalm 139. Don't feel you have to turn to it because it's just a few sentences. Just listen as I read. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I'm just going to leave that verse hanging there just for a little while and come back to it. So when Adam and Eve were created, they experienced the close presence of God. And Genesis tells us that God walked in the garden and that he spoke face to face with Adam and Eve. But after the fall, they became separated from his presence. And as we go through the Old Testament, we see, as the stories unfold, we see God revealing his presence to his people. But in some ways, it seems quite limited and only happens during special times, as we see with Abraham or with Moses and the burning bush. And when God's presence came like a cloud and descended upon the tent of meeting. And then we see through the various prophets how God reveals his presence to people. But often God's presence was confined to holy places and holy moments, or at least that's how I see it in the Old Testament. And then in the time that we see between the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have these 400 years of what is known as kind of apparent silence, referred to as the intertestamental period. I'm impressed with that. Where there was no revelation, no manifest presence of God, until the angel's proclamation of the promised Messiah at the birth of Jesus, when God once again chose to live among men and women. We have this Emmanuel, don't we? God with us. In John 1:14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And I find it really interesting as I was kind of looking at this, and I'm sure, you know, this isn't like a bombshell. I'm sure lots of people have realised this before, but for me, it was kind of the first time I'd really thought about this. How, you know, God was there at the beginning, and that sort of close presence with God and man was there. And then obviously that was kind of disrupted in many ways with the fall. But then when Jesus came and he was walking the earth, breathing the same air as man, rubbing shoulders with them. And then at Revelation, you know, the end of days, when we see this great reunion of God's people living in the full presence of God for eternity once, you know, and for all. And that relationship is reinstated. So clearly this has always been God's purpose, is that we live in his presence day by day, hour by hour. But how do we do this? God is omnipresent everywhere at all times. So surely we always live in his presence. But do we? Is there a difference? Now, I don't know how many of you did one of the what they call equip courses back in the summer. Can you put your hand up if you did one of the equip courses? Yeah, so quite a few of us here. Yeah. And now the course that I did was the Everyday Supernatural. And I can see some of my fellow students here tonight. And to be honest, this was the only real course I was actually drawn to, if I'm totally honest. And I think it was just the title that kind of drew me to it. I wasn't even sure what it was all about, but I liked the title, which was Everyday Supernatural. And I kind of thought, you know, if this is going to somehow enable me to experience God at a deeper level day by day, then this is kind of the course that I want to do. So that was why I did that particular course. And it was led by Steve Bacharach and Sarah Pearson, and they led the course really well. And really, that's pretty much what the course was about. So it was, the course was, has anyone done the Everyday Supernatural? I know one of the house groups, yeah, was it your house group? Yeah, one of the house groups had already done it. So it's based on this book that's written by Mike Pilavachi and Andy Croft. And my kind of explanation of what it does is that they try to sort of demystify the idea that the supernatural is something for special occasions or just for special people, but to see it as an everyday part of our lives, our relationship with God. So in the first chapter, when we the very first time that we all met together, one of the things that the book encouraged us to do was to practice the presence of God. And it suggested that for 10 minutes a day, you just try and focus upon God. Try and, if you like, connect with his presence. So this is what we tried to do at the course. And on the first evening, I remember they sent us off, didn't they? And said, you know, go off for 10 minutes and see how you get on. And I think we had kind of differing experiences. Some found it really helpful. Others, like myself, perhaps maybe thought, I don't kind of like it when people tell you that you have to go off and do something. You know, it's almost like, okay, God, here I am, do it. But anyway, as the week progressed, we tried to do this as a group, tried to spend sort of at least 10 minutes a day, and with varying degrees of success, I think is fair to say. But one thing I realized from this book is that, you know, it doesn't have to be, we don't have to practice the presence of God for 10 minutes a day, do we? It's something that we can do throughout the day. And that really was pretty much what I tried to do, which I've been trying to do since the summer, really. So what I've been trying to do is just, you know, at the times that I think about it, that I remember, that I try and think about God's presence, you know, just remember that he's in me, and that he's all around me, and that I just need to maybe sometimes quieten myself, take some time out from busy life, and just to think about him. So I think it's feasible that whilst I'm washing up or ironing, you know, those rock and roll lives that we all live, or even when I'm printing Pews News, that I can still experience the presence of God in my life, that I don't have to necessarily, you know, shut myself away for an hour in a room in order to experience God's presence in my life. I'm not saying that those things aren't important, because they are. We know that Jesus withdrew and spent time with his Father, so if he needed it, then, you know, how much more do we? But I think it's possible during the day, if we just take out those little times just to try and connect with God, then I think that would maybe make a real difference to how we live our lives. So I'd like to say that this kind of new thing that I'm trying has completely transformed my life. But as yet, if I'm honest, it hasn't, because I still feel that I'm very much learning how to kind of develop this art of thinking about God during my day when I do. And I realise that so often I can just hurtle through life. I'm sure we're all pretty much the same in many respects. And you get to the end of the day and you realise that you haven't really taken much time at all to think about God, that you've just raced through a day. And I had this kind of realization a few weeks ago that surprised me. It was on a day when I wasn't working and I was at home doing my housework, and as I often do, I kind of have the music, the worship music on, and I'm singing along to it. And you know, this had kind of gone on for an hour and a half or so, and I'd been singing. I thought I'd been worshiping, you know, I thought I'd been worshiping as I'd been doing all this stuff. And then I suddenly realized, actually, after an hour and a half of doing this, that I hadn't really thought about God as I was singing. I was just simply singing along with the words. That was a little bit of a sort of a surprise to me, because I'd always thought during those times, you know, I kind of use it as my worship time, if you like. I realized then that I maybe needed to be a little bit more intentional about that. And we're in such a privileged position, aren't we, today, compared to the believers in the Old Testament, who could only encounter the presence of God at limited moments in their lives, or through a priest who was allowed access into the Holy of Holies, perhaps just once a year. And that veil that was torn in two at the crucifixion, that gave us direct access into the presence of God through Jesus. Where at all times, in all places, we can have that security of knowing that God is with us, even when we're not that aware of it. So whilst I was kind of reading and preparing for this evening, I stumbled upon a book that was called Practicing the Presence of God, which is a small book of letters written by a French monk named Brother Lawrence. Has anyone come across this book? Yeah, a few people. Apparently it's quite a well-known book and widely read amongst Christians, but for me it was kind of a bit of a new discovery. And I was really fascinated by the life of Brother Lawrence. He was a monk, he'd committed his life to God, but he was different in many respects. And he spent most of his time in the kitchen. He says he wasn't quite good enough to be a proper monk. I don't know what that means, but anyway. So he spent most of his time in the kitchen. He was the cook, preparing meals, and he was generally the first point of reference for any visitors that came to visit the monastery. And it was really, really obvious from his letters that whatever he was doing, he always did it as if he was working for God. So he could be doing the most sort of, you know, small task, but he would consider whatever that was, that he was serving God. And one of the things he says in one of his letters is that no matter what he's doing, whether he was peeling spuds — he didn't actually use the word spuds, he said potatoes — so whether he was peeling potatoes or whether he was on his knees during set times of prayers in the monastery, he felt that both those tasks were equal, because for him the presence of God was as evident in both. And I think that's a lovely kind of place to be, isn't it? Where, you know, whether you're involved in some what we might consider a highly spiritual task or a fairly mundane thing, you know, just feeling the presence of God in both those equally, I think is quite special. One thing he says, one of the quotes from his letters, is that, talking about God, he says, "He does not ask much of us, merely a thought from time to time, a little act of adoration, sometimes to ask for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings, at other times to thank him for the graces past and present he has bestowed on you. In the midst of your troubles, to take solace in him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. One need not cry out very loudly. He is nearer to us than we think." And I love that phrase, that he is nearer to us than we think. And I found it really interesting that this morning, when Jonathan was speaking — if you went there this morning, I would encourage you to listen again to what Jonathan brought. And one of the things he said was about, as believers, where we are placed, and how the rebellion, if you like, of the angels, that we were originally in God's sort of order, that we were under the angels and the principalities and stuff. And then when that kind of rebellion happened, that the church was then placed under God. Have I got that correct?
Yeah, Jesus elevated us too.
Yeah, yeah. So we've kind of been elevated to this place of under God. And I kind of thought that in many respects, if that is true, and I'm not disputing what Jonathan has said, obviously. If that's true, then, you know, God is nearer. He's closer, perhaps, than we think. And we do have that authority, not just to kind of, you know, win some of the battles that are going on in our lives, but we also have that closeness to God that we can call upon. That so, you know, because God is so close to us, that we perhaps need to be more aware of that and to tap into that more. Sorry, I've lost my place slightly. Oh yeah. So going back to the book that I was reading, it really got me thinking about whether it's possible to live in that kind of constant awareness of God. And I think in many respects it is. I know from my own experience, sort of thinking back now, maybe it was probably 2 or 3 years ago, when I kind of had a really powerful encounter with God. It was here in this chapel, actually. And for a time after that, God was so real to me. And I'd say it was probably for a period of two or three months, I think. And the presence of God, I felt, was really close at hand. And, you know, when I was at home and during those times, you know, like I was saying, when I'm at home and I'm alone and I put the worship music on, and I could really sense God's presence with me so, so strongly during, it was a fairly short space of time. I have to say that unfortunately has kind of passed a little bit, and I maybe don't feel that in such intensity, but I really want to live my life day by day feeling like that. You know, I really want the presence of God to be close at hand, and you know, feeling that he's right there. So, you know, this whole thing is kind of a real challenge for me, and hopefully you'll find it a challenge too. You know, I want to not see life as, you know, these are the sacred things, these are the holy things that I do, and these are the more kind of secular things. And I think it's very easy for us to kind of divide our lives up a bit, a little bit like what Chris was saying this morning. You know, we can put bits of our lives in different compartments. And I think it's really important that we see the whole of our lives as being kind of lived in God's presence, and not kind of seeing one thing as being a bit more holy or more spiritual than another, because he's with us all the time, isn't he? So recently we, the ladies, went to an Arise retreat day that we had, and during this day we looked at the story of Mary and Martha. And obviously it's a familiar story for us all. But we know in this story that we have Martha, and she's very busy with all the preparations that she's doing for the guests that they have. And, you know, she's obviously angry with Mary because Mary is sat listening at the feet of Jesus, and she feels that she's not really playing her part. She's not doing what she's meant to be doing. And I know that for myself, I would much prefer to sit with Jesus and listen to him, but I fear that I would more likely take up Martha's position in kind of being a doer rather than a beer. You know, we're so good, aren't we, at doing rather than being. And so at this particular day, we were asked to consider whether we thought we were kind of a Mary or a Martha. And I think it's fair to say that the majority of women in that room actually said that they were a Martha. And I guess that's a bit of a symptom of the busy lives that we live today. And in a fast-paced society, it's really easy to become over-busy and become distracted with everything that needs doing. I know myself, I can become a real slave to busyness. But one thing that the speaker brought out from this story is that even during those times when we have to be Marthas, you know, we can't always be kind of, you know, doing nothing. There are times when we have to be busy doing stuff. But during those times when we are Marthas and we have to be Marthas, we can still be Marys at the same time. And that was kind of something that struck me, that even though we're busy, busy at work, busy doing church things perhaps, busy with our family, busy with friends, whatever we're doing, we can still do those things in the presence of God by just simply acknowledging that he's with us and allowing him to kind of be part of those things that we're doing. So I just want to read briefly the story of Mary and Martha, just to kind of remind ourselves of it. It's in Luke 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." They're familiar words, familiar story. And in many respects, Mary acted, I think, very sort of counter-culturally for the time. In this story, hospitality, or in the life of Jesus, hospitality was very important. And looking after guests and making sure that they had food and drink was largely a woman's role. I'm certain that all the men present that day probably expected Mary to go about the task of looking after them, making sure that they were well fed and watered. And probably, well, we know from the story that Martha certainly expected Mary to do the same. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says that Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So there are times when we need to just make that decision that, you know, we're going to just take a little bit of time out of our busyness and to make sure that we focus upon Jesus, focus upon his presence and allowing him to become part of our day, whatever we're doing. And I really love this story of Mary and Martha. And this whole sort of aspect of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him. And I also love that it's this same Mary that was the one that poured out perfume upon Jesus' feet during another time when she wanted to be where he was. She wanted to listen to him. And this story of Mary pouring the perfume is another favourite of mine. And it was one that was some of the guys from the worship team. We recently went on a worship conference, and we did the same thing last year. And last year, the speaker focused on this story of Mary pouring the perfume on Jesus' feet. And it was about extravagant worship. That was the sort of the title of the conference. And I think this story very much shows that Mary just lavished her love and her worship upon Jesus and her adoration. And I think it's just lovely. I love the story. So I definitely want to be a bit more like Mary, but so often I do find myself in Martha's shoes. So I want to encourage you, all of us, to try and practice that presence of God. And I think it's something that the more we do, perhaps the easier it becomes. You find yourself perhaps more often thinking about God as we kind of do it. So whatever we're doing, wherever we are, we can just take some time out just to focus on God at regular, just small regular periods during the day, just to stop, hit the pause button on our lives for a moment and learn to enjoy his presence. He's in each one of us and he desires our company. He's everywhere. We know that from the reading that I read right at the very beginning. And this has been his plan all along, is that we live in his presence at all times, that we're aware of his presence with us. Now, I'm aware that many of you in this room may well be further along this journey than I am. I'm certainly very much still trying to get into the habit of doing this. But I really think that, you know, if we can just get into this habit a little bit more, that it's real, you know, it's the key to living fulfilled lives. And that those things that we consider mundane and, you know, boring, things we have to do during the day, that if we're more aware of God being with us in those things, that somehow it will just transform those things into being, you know, a little bit more exciting, perhaps, than the old humdrum, as we tend to describe them. So I'd just like to finish with, I knew I'd be short. I'd just like to finish with another quote from Brother Lawrence's book that hopefully will kind of just encourage you to try this. Let us occupy ourselves entirely in knowing God. The more we know him, the more we will desire to know him. As love increases with knowledge, the more we know God, the more we will truly love him. We will learn to love him equally in times of distress or in times of great joy, which again was something that Jonathan brought out from his message this morning, that, you know, if we're close to God, if we know his presence in our lives, when those difficult times come, you know, when they hit us, that they won't completely shatter us because, you know, our faith is kind of already there because we're just so sure of his presence and we know his presence. So, you know, that's another good reason to kind of ensure that we just stay close to him. Thank you all.